Now, we're going to read the scripture together. And so let's hold up our Bible. Let's hold our Bible. And as you know my drill, right? So it's so important to hold up the Bible to say that, you know, this is the Word of God, all right? So important to do that. Are you ready? Okay, so hold it up high. Even if you did not bring your Bible, okay, it's okay, all right? And hold up your imaginary Bible as well, okay? All right, this is my Bible. Ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. Amen. Now, we're going to read from Scripture here. And Kerr, can you help me here? It's not working here. Just, all right. And so, let's read aloud together. In fact, I was going to say, let's not read aloud together. We're going to memorize. Right? Did you memorize the scripture? Can you? Yeah, okay. Let's memorize together. All right. Our Father in heaven, are you? Now, we need to do the NIV version, okay? I know many of you have memorized the older version, but let's stick to NIV so that we all memorize together. And the next time we say, let's recite the Lord's Prayer together, we all recite from the same version, okay? So this is only a week two, right? I'm giving you 5 weeks to learn, okay, the Lord's Prayer together. Are you ready? One, two, go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well done. I'm hearing it loud and clear here in the church. So well done. Look, pat someone on the back and say, well done. All right. Okay. And so we have just read the scripture. So you may be seated now. All right. Amazing. Now, if you remember the story I mentioned last weekend as we start this series on prayer called Breathe. All right. And I shared the story of one of our staff who was looking for a computer file. Remember that story? And he was looking for that one file throughout the whole day. He got so frustrated. He went home and prayed to God and said, God, please help me find that file because it's really frustrating me. Now, you may think computer file, it's just a computer file, right? But it frustrated him. And you know he's wasting his time doing that. So he prayed a simple prayer to God and said, God, help me find the file. And interestingly, God woke him up at 5 a.m. in the morning and say, now go to the office and find that file. And so he appeared in the office at 6 a.m., way before anyone had come into the church office. And he sat down, switched on the computer, and he went to that one folder that after giving up, you know, so many folders, he just somehow went to that one folder, and he clicked on that one particular file, he told me, and lo and behold, that file appeared in front of him, all right? And now some of you may be thinking, Pastor, that's only a computer file, right? Okay, but tell you what, it may not be important to you, but it means the world to that person. And while listening to this story last weekend, this sister in our midst here was hearing that story and said, hey, God, I'm also looking for something, you know? All right. So he was, you may think it is nothing much. It's just she was looking for this membership card for the last 2 months. It really frustrated her. And she said, God, okay, since you can find computer file, maybe you can help me find or a membership card, like something as simple as that, all right? And so on Wednesday, she was sharing, just last Wednesday, she was sharing with the cell group. He said, you know, I prayed, but, you know, I cannot find that card. No, so she said, I was actually complaining to God. I just got a call from her just 2 days ago. And she said, I was complaining to God why he can find computer file, I cannot find my card, you know. And then it dawned on her, right, the word file kept coming to her mind, you see, file, all right. So she slept on it. The next morning, he said, actually the Lord told me where to find a card last Sunday already, all right. It is the word file, but I refused to listen to him, so I decided, go to that file that normally he said I would never put anything in, especially that card, because there's no reason for me to put that card in. So she went to that file of the club that she's with. She opened it up, and lo and behold, after 2 months she cannot find it. That card was there. All right. And so she said, wow, I was so excited. So she called me and said, now you may think this means nothing, right? Only a membership card, right? But I tell you what, it means a world to this sister. All right, because now she's learning to exercise what I call faith. Now, you may start with something small like this, just a computer card, a membership card. It could be a computer file. But as the Lord begins to impress upon the faith to trust Him for bigger things, do you know what God is going to do? It seems that God is doing this work of helping us find lost things. But tell you what, God is going to help us find lost people. All right? God is going to use us as we pray in faith, that God is going to bring in many more lost sheep, I call them. And so it's amazing that in the last few weeks now, I've been receiving so many answered prayers of people who has asked for prayer. I just received one 3 days ago. He said last weekend, Pastor, you remember, all right, you prayed for someone who has a liver condition, because I just said, the Lord impressed upon me, someone with a liver condition. He said, a few days before last weekend, she said, I went to see a doctor, and the doctor told me there's something wrong with your liver. You need to come back and do the test again, all right? And so he came on Sunday, last Sunday, and when the word liver came up, she said, I think that's for me, because in the heart, it resonated with him. He said, I think that's for me. So he came up for prayer, okay? And last few days, when he went back to see the doctor, did another test. His doctor told him, lo and behold, completely clear, nothing wrong with your liver, all right? That's amazing. And this is not the only story. I receive stories, I'm compiling them right now, of people, of God doing the healing in the lives of people. And this is my prayer, church. That as we learn to go to pray, on our knees in our prayers, as we seek the Lord, God is going to bring about signs, miracles, and wonders in our lives. Amen? And I pray that as the Lord does it to us, we bring this out into the world out there, and we begin to see God doing signs and wonders, but it has to start with us experiencing the power of God in our lives. And so, now in this series here, why pray? Last weekend, I talked about why do we need to pray? To pray is to know the heart of God. Now, prayer, I say, is personal. God wants us to pray because He wants us to build a relationship with Him, because there's a conversation going on with God. God is going to put peace in us. That's why we pray. And then we say God is going to put power in us. So if you missed that sermon last weekend, you can follow that on YouTube, because I'm not going to repeat that. But I believe that that is a foundation to why we say that as a church we must grow in prayer. And so our posture and attitude to prayer, if you remember, I said it is to pray secretly. It's not a show-off thing, right? It is really to pray secretly and sincerely in our hearts, so that God will begin to work in our own hearts. So last weekend I said you start with the platform, the five platforms. Start with a platform of honor, all right? So you come. If you have not been praying for a long time, then you start with 5 minutes. Start, think big, but start small, all right? So I say, step on a platform of honor. I was so glad to receive a text from this family, and he said, you know, Pastor, we follow what you said, all right, in honoring God. So my wife and I, we spent 10 minutes just honoring God, just honoring God. It's so good that we're able to do that as a couple, right? Just the first platform, it has brought such blessings upon them. So can you continue to do that? Spend time honoring God. That's the preparation of our hearts. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about God's kingdom, because we move now to the next platform of prayer, from honor now to kingdom. And the next sermon will be on provision, then on forgiveness, and then finally power. And my desire is that by the end of this series of five sermons, I really pray that your prayer life have improved in leaps and bounds. Now, last Friday, in our cell group, they're all young adults. And remember, one of the questions in the cell group we asked you was, rate your own prayer life, right? Did you do that in your cell group? I pray you have, right? So because we wanted to be kind to our members, we gave them small slips of paper. Like we say, you don't have to write your name. Like just write the number there, okay? And then fold the paper so nobody can see your number. All right? And we pass it to someone in the group. And that person averaged out, all right, the number. That means the prayer life, it's their own subjective, all right, assessment of how their prayer life is. One is really bad, thorough, all right? 10 is really good, okay? And so they came up with a number. On the average in our cell group, the average number was actually 4.7, all right? So there's nothing to shout about, but we know it is neither here nor there, all right? And I sense that this could be the prayer life of many of us here, neither here nor there, all right? And so my desire is that by the time we do another assessment, you know, 5 weeks down, you can really rate it at least one notch, two notch, or three notch higher than what you are assessing yourself now. Amen? All right, so that is my challenge to you. Now, this morning, I want to talk about the kingdom of God. Because your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Luke chapter 8 verse, by the way, this is a picture of someone sent it to me and said, this is my kitchen right now, all right? Today's special is something that, you know, she would write when a guest come to her home, and this is the food that you'll be getting, all right? So she said, I've been putting this up to remind me of the need to go to platform one, on God's honor. So I believe that this week here, she'll put it in platform two now. Your kingdom come, all right? God's kingdom. And so, you know, Jesus said, this is something Jesus did. After this, Jesus traveled from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Everyone say, kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is central to the teaching of Jesus and to our Christian life. Now, in the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if you do a search, that word kingdom will come up 123 times. So it is important, this whole aspect of kingdom in the gospel. And then if you search, you know, the other book of the Bible apart from the gospel, it comes out 37 times. So in other words, in the gospel, it is mentioned over and over and over again. So the kingdom of God is a concept that as Christians, we must learn to understand. When Jesus said to pray, your kingdom come, what does it mean? What does it mean when we say the kingdom of God? So let me just paint for you a big picture right now, starting from Genesis, all right? Now, the purpose of God in creating the world was to establish his kingdom reign. So God has his intention to have a kingdom on earth with Adam and Eve having dominion over, you know, everything in the world. So that was God's design. But we all know the story. By the time we come to Genesis 2, 3 and onwards, we realize that Adam and Eve sinned. It's a sin of disobedience. And as a result of that, in a nutshell, what happened was the dominion that was, you know, exercised by Adam and Eve now is passed now over, in that sense, to Satan. And that is why from the kingdom of God, all right, the world has become the kingdom of darkness because of the sin of man. Now, don't get me wrong here. God is ultimately having dominion over the entire universe. God is still, all right, having control. But yet for the world, this world here on earth, somehow we through the sin of disobedience, we've now passed it on to Satan, who is now, the in that sense, the king, all right, over the reign of this world. And so Jesus came. Jesus came to reclaim that kingdom back for himself and for God through the cross and the resurrection by first building a kingdom in the hearts of men and women. Right? So in that sense, hear me correctly here, this kingdom is not a physical kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of men. I'm going to explain this to you more a little bit later on. Now, this may not be the complete kingdom here yet because this is a spiritual kingdom, but they will come. We were celebrating the Holy Communion just now, that we say one more time we're doing Holy Communion, but one less time now to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, he will then establish the kingdom of God on earth, on a new heaven and a new earth. You understand this part here? All right. It's so important to recognize this. So now let me just redefine this one more time for you. The kingdom of darkness, therefore, the kingdom of Satan is therefore the sphere of influence where Jesus is not Lord. So anyone who is not a Christian, anyone who is not, you know, having Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they belong to the kingdom of darkness. You understand this? Right? So it is not a physical kingdom. It is not drawn by boundaries. It is drawn by the hearts of people. So therefore, on the flip side of the coin, the kingdom of God is a reign of Christ, the King, in the lives of his kingdom people, which grows in spiritual breadth and depth. So that's my definition, right? It is in the hearts of men that the kingdom of God will grow. So let me give you the big idea here. The big idea is this. To pray for his kingdom to come is to extend the heart of God to the world. Last week, I said that to pray is to know the heart of God. So this week, to pray for his kingdom to come is to extend the heart of God to the world. So let me jump right into it right now. Your kingdom come. Now, what does it mean? Your kingdom come. There are two transformations that take place when the kingdom of God comes into our hearts. So the first thing is this, that the kingdom of God transforms us individually. It always starts with God transforming hearts one by one. All right. And as our hearts are transformed one by one, and today, of course, we have millions of Christians in the world today, and that millions of hearts forms the kingdom of God on this earth. It is not a kingdom of geographical boundaries. It's a kingdom of the hearts of people that are united together through Jesus Christ. Now, during the time of Jesus, it's quite interesting. When he came, people thought that that Messiah that's going to come will come on horses. They will come with weapons. Why? To deliver them from the evil Roman Empire. So for the people then, they thought in the thinking, it was political in nature. There's going to be someone who come and deliver them from the evil kingdom, the evil earthly kingdom of the Roman Empire. And thinking that by doing that, there'll be transformation in their land. So, and I was thinking about this. Actually, we are no different from them in the way we think about kingdom too. You know, some of us, we need to set that right, is it? Right? We tend to think also that, even today, we tend to think that, you know, the solution for this nation, the solution comes through political change. Now, I'm not saying that it will not come. But as Christians, we must understand that change can only come when we put our hope in God. It's not even in any political leaders. You understand this part here? Right? Because after all, any political leaders, they are still human beings subject to any you know, fallenness like all of us. And so, you know, our hope, therefore, is not in men. The kingdom of God has to do with our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and through the repentance and transformed lives of the people in this nation. And that's the kingdom of God. And that is why we are in the business. I call it the church is the business of transforming hearts. All right? It is not to establish any physical, political boundary around us. It has to do with the spiritual kingdom. You see, the early Christians, by the way, they were escaping persecutions and death. So I don't blame them for saying that I want this kingdom of God to be physical. We want a deliverance out of what we're going through. But do you know the early Christian never put their hope in people, never put their hope in political system once they understand what Jesus is talking about in the kingdom of God. They begin to realize that change can only come if you share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people, and when their hearts are transformed, the nation will be transformed. It's a totally different paradigm altogether. Those of us who study church history will recognize that in the 4th century, when Emperor Constantine became the Christian emperor, everyone thought, yeah, all right, that is the golden age of the Christian faith. Do you know in church history, we have already learned that the moment Emperor Constantine came on, that was the beginning of the decline of the church in its truest form. It was actually a decline, all right? And so our hope, really, at the end of the day, it's not on earthly kingdom, but in people transformed by God who makes up the kingdom of God. So in other words, seated in this room here, you all are the kingdom of God, the spiritual kingdom of God. And so when we have Faith Christian Church up here to lead us in worship, that the church that they represent the church in Melbourne, for example, that's the kingdom of God too. And so when we join together worldwide as Christians, there's no earthly boundaries, no geographical boundaries, political boundaries. It is a people of God that forms the kingdom of God. So when Jesus said that, I am coming here to extend the kingdom of God, then we begin to understand it is about sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and helping them to come into the kingdom. And so Jesus said here, for example, in Luke 17, once having asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come with a careful observation, nor will people say, here it is, there it is, meaning that it is not physical in nature, because it has to do with the hearts of men which cannot be seen. Then he said, because the kingdom of God is what? Within you. You see that? It is a spiritual kingdom. So I mentioned earlier on my definition of the kingdom of God is the reign of Christ, the king, in the lives of kingdom people. So if you are a Christian, you belong to the kingdom of God. And tell you what, church, this is the most powerful truth here. If you belong to the kingdom of God, reside in you through the Spirit called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, there resides in you the power of the universe. It's an amazing thought. Sometimes we forget that part. There lies in our lives, here lies in our lives, is the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ. Now, how do you become part of this kingdom? Now, some of you seated here may not be Christians here. Let me talk to you right now. Now, you've been in church for a while right now. And you may be asking yourself, how do I become a part of what God is doing here? And the way to enter this kingdom, which I'm talking about here right now, is actually to acknowledge Jesus as your king. And that's how you enter the kingdom. John chapter 3, verse 3 says this, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? He is born again. Now, this is spoken to Nicodemus, a Pharisee who came to Jesus and said, you know, how do I even enter the kingdom of God? Right? He said, and Jesus said, by being born again. So just as there are physical birth that allows us to be born here in Malaysia, and therefore if you're born in Malaysia, you become a Malaysian, right? So in the kingdom of God, when you are born in Christ Jesus, through his name, through accepting him as Lord and Savior, through the forgiveness of your sins, when you confess your sins to God and say, Lord, I've done all these wrong things, and thank you for the cross. Thank you that through the cross now that I am forgiven. And when I'm forgiven, you are giving me the resurrection life. And through that now, I enter into the kingdom of God. So just as a physical birth that allows you to be a citizen of this nation, there is a spiritual birth that allows you to be a subject of this kingdom. So if you're not a Christian, the way that you will become part of this kingdom is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. At the end, you know, I want to challenge you to make a decision to say, I want to enter into the kingdom. So we are not of this world because we don't belong to earthly kingdom, although we are Malaysian, but we're not really in that sense, okay? You know, part of this forever. And I love the way Mother Teresa said it. Okay, she said, by blood, I'm Albanian, she said. But my citizenship is Indian. I'm a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus. I thought that was very beautifully said. In other words, we are all here. Now, listen carefully to this, right? It may be a revelation for some of you here. I may be in this world, but I'm not of this world. You understand this part? I may be in this world, but not of this world, but sent to this world. And maybe it's an age thing, all right? Because one of the songs that I keep singing in my head, all right, is this song that many of us are familiar with. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. If heaven's not my home, oh Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Now, that song was actually written by slaves, all right, in America. And while they were going through, they were forcibly taken from Africa. They were slaves in America. They had become Christians. And they were going through some real suffering. And what kept them going for many of these who are Christians in slavery, all right, it was the call of eternity. And that's why they wrote this song. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. All right? So this may be a revelation for some of you, you know. They are just passing through. So don't hold on to the world so tightly that you don't want to let go, right? And so in that sense, Jesus have already said this. I have given them your word. So Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane to the Father. He said, I have given them your word, and the world has what? Hated them. Now, Some of you have become Christians and wondering why are people nowadays against you, you know? When you stand on the principles of the kingdom, I call it, when you say you're a Christian, there's certain principles you stand on, you get a brickbat of people just coming down on you and say and ostracize you. Now, so Jesus said, don't be surprised that the world hates you, you know? Because you are different, right? And then he said, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So Jesus is not saying that, okay, since you belong to the kingdom of God, I'm going to take you out. No, you remain. Why? Because Jesus said, you know, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. So in other words, you are in this world, but you are really not of this world. But Jesus said, I want you to remain in this world. I'm sending you so that you can share the message of the kingdom to the people, and many more will be added to the kingdom. So you see the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church, therefore, the reason why God continued to allow here, to exist here on this world, although we are not of this world, is that we are sent into the world to transform the world through the Spirit of Christ. So that leads me to the second point. Not only the kingdom of God transforms us individually, the kingdom of God transforms the world. Now, what do I mean by that? Now, let me say something to you, that this is an amazing, amazing scripture here. All right, I want every one of us to read this, because this is something that we need to be able to grasp and understand. Are you ready? Let's read aloud together. One, two, go. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Here you go. You are ambassadors for God. Turn to your neighbor and look them in the eye and say, you are an ambassador. How does an ambassador conduct themselves? When they go to another country, what do ambassadors do? They represent the country. When the country looks at that ambassador, the host country look at the ambassador, they must see a reflection of the country in that ambassador. So it's really important the kind of people that you send out representing Malaysia. Because then they will give a good so-called image of what Malaysians are. You see, suddenly we realize that the kingdom of God is not for our private enjoyment. It is not about coming here every Saturday evening or Sunday morning. It's not about just coming here, enjoying ourselves, you know, having great worship, hopefully a good sermon, hearing a good sermon, all right? And, you know, begin to just enjoy this so much that we become what I call a holy club. No one can come in. Holy club, all right? In fact, you know, John Stott said the church is the only organization in the world that exists not for the benefit of its members. The church is, if you want to call it a club, it's the only club in the world that exists for the sake of its non-members, not for ourselves. Because we are not of this world. And so the kingdom of God, the understanding of it, will go against what I call this radical individualism of our lives. You know, we are so individualistic. You know, if you don't believe me, see what the kind of prayer you have to God. If you say you're not individualistic, self-centered, just examine your prayer. How much is for yourself? Right? You're praying all the time for yourself. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for yourself. But it just tells you, you know, how concerned we are about ourselves. Right. And when we show that video on Bless Street, for example, I don't know what you're thinking in your mind. Yeah, this is something somebody else is doing, not me. But that's what the church exists for. So as an ambassador for Christ, God is going, you know, to change you. Because you need to, you know, be able to represent Christ. So that is why we make disciples towards what? Christ-likeness. We want our people to be more Christ-like so that we can be ambassadors for Christ. And that is why, you know, God transformed the world through us, and therefore God needs to transform us first. And that is why God gives you a church. The church, if you know by now, is part of this kingdom of God. And so God can give you a church that will train you. In fact, God in this church here will give you a cell group to train you. In fact, if you think you are not self-centered, try going to a cell group. You discovered how self-centered you are. See, many of you nodding your head, you understand what I mean. You think you like people? Try going to cell group and see. Or you sound like cell group are terrible. No, actually it's you. The problem is you, not the, your cell members. Eh? Right? And you begin to realize that, you know, the things that irks you, the things, you know, you're so self-centered. God is going to use the church to train you. All right? And on the night when you're supposed to go cell group, and you come home tired, you say, okay lah, no need to go. Because you're thinking of yourself. I'm not going. But if you know the ministry of cell group, you're not doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the sake of others. So in spite of your tiredness, you will go to the cell group. Why? Because I'm doing it for them. Because I want to encourage them. And cell group will train you every week. And so God is going to train us. In fact, you know, God is going to train us so much so that God says that we need to be different. You know, I used to watch, because my kids are grown up already. I used to watch Sesame Street. How many of you watch Sesame Street? Now, I told this illustration some years back. It was quite long ago, but let me repeat the illustration for the sake of those who are new here. I say what, the part of Sesame Street that I love is the part where the kids are sitting down on the floor, and there's somebody, you know, who is talking to the kids, and she will put, you know, on the floor, you know, four objects. All right, she will put three oranges and one apple. Okay, and then she would sing this song, and because the teacher was trying to teach the kids about the word difference, what is different, all right? So she would sing this song here. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things doesn't belong. Can you tell me which thing is not like the other before I finish my song, right? So the kids all will look at the three oranges and one apple, right? So which one is different? You all don't know, I'm a bit worried now, you know. Three oranges and one apple, which one is different? Wow, phew, thank you. All right, that's the right answer, right? And so the kids, of course, they're young. They're still trying to understand the word difference, okay? So when I saw that program, I was thinking to myself, I said, what if I were to put three non-Christians and one Christian and put it in front of the office, put it in front of the school, the university, and your community, all right? Put three non-Christian and one Christian there and sing this song. Right? One of these men is not like the other. One of these men doesn't belong. Can you tell me which man is not like the other before I finish my song? Right? And all the colleagues and all your neighbors and all your schoolmates, okay, they will watch these four fellows. I wonder how quick the answer will be. Yes, that's the one. That's the one. This is different. And by the way, that's the definition of holiness. It's not about how good you are. You're probably like everybody else. But the difference, when God says you're holy, it simply means not that you're better than the people next to you. It's just that you are different. People can tell the difference. And that's what the kingdom of God is all about. So the kingdom of God, when people see that you're different, they want something that you have. And they're going to come to you and ask, what do you have that I don't have? Because your life is different. Of course, they don't understand this concept of the kingdom of God. But if you read in scripture, the kingdom of God spreads, you see, and it draws in people. It doesn't push people into the kingdom. It draws people into the kingdom. And the kingdom of God is so powerful. It will transform the world. And so we understand kingdom. The kingdom will not only transform us individually, it transforms the world through us. And that's the privilege we have called the ambassadors for Christ. You know, isn't that an amazing thought? What could be a higher honor? What could be a higher privilege? Ambassadors for Christ, okay? You're an ambassador. So I want you to realize that the kingdom of God sends you out as an ambassador for Him. So will you honor God through that role you're playing? This is not for some people, you know. This is for everyone. So how is your role as an ambassador for the kingdom? When they sing that song, one of these men is not like the other. Can the world quickly see that this person here belongs to the kingdom of God? They may not say it in that phrase. They will say, this person is different. And so the kingdom of God begins to help us realize there's something profound and powerful through this kingdom. Two more things about the kingdom, right? Not only transforms us individually, not only God uses us to transform the world. Now, the third thing is that the kingdom of God is now. It is now. This is the kingdom of God. Now, what do I mean by that? See, when Jesus showed up on earth, the kingdom has come. Before that, the kingdom, in that sense, have not come. But now Jesus is here. Jesus said, it is by the Spirit of God that I drive out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. That's the same phrase again, within you, upon you. And then Jesus said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of God is within us. So this is not a promise about the future, this is a promise about the now. So there is the blessings of the kingdom now. When Jesus, you know, was resurrected, interestingly, after his suffering, he presented himself to them. This is after he had resurrected. He gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about what? The kingdom of God. So he was going around talking about the kingdom, that it can transform you, it can transform the world. And then this is prominent in the mind of Jesus. It was also prominent in the mind of Apostle Paul. They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. He witnessed to them from the morning till evening, explaining about the kingdom of God. So that is why, church, we need to understand the concept of this kingdom. And if you have experienced this kingdom, you have a very unique experience that many who are not believers experience. You have been given a privilege to be part of this kingdom. Let me give an example of what it means to experience the kingdom. You know, about 3 weekends ago, I was out with this group of men. And this group of men here, shown here, are men on, we call it a timeout. Do you know it's really hard to get men to go on a timeout? Right? You get announced like crazy and men, go for a men thing, right? You know, and you mean I have to open up my life and share with this group of men I don't really know? Yeah. Okay, but those who are brave, these are brave men who say that, okay, I will go. So they ended up all going. And I've never seen, you know, a room full of men who are just all crying away, you know. And in DUMC, let me say this again, real men cry. Amen? Yeah. Real men cry. And when men are able to open up their heart, And I hear stories after stories, and this man's brave enough to walk up there. Of course, everything shared in there is confidential. There's a rule going on, say, do not share this out of the room, okay? It's a PNC. And man after man went up there to the front and shared with every man and said, no, I messed up, man. I messed up big time. I was at the verge of divorce, and God just saved me out of that. Another one said, I'm actually divorced. This is my second marriage. And he was almost at the verge of breaking up again, but the Lord saved me. Others will share that my dad walked out on me when I was 5 years old. He walked out, never see my dad after that. You know, I was out in the street. And to hear men say, you know, I've experienced healing in my heart. And they will cry. And we cry with them. Or become crybabies overnight, you know. And then you see the men all trying to wipe their tears like that, you know. Or they're not sure, they're crying out too loud, you know. All right. But I encourage them. We men need to be in touch with our hearts. And one man shared, you know, God healed me in this weekend. God has really healed me. That's the experience of the kingdom of God. And many of you seated here, you know what I mean. God has done such a tremendous work in your life. You look at yourself 5 years ago, or maybe 10 years ago, or even 1 year ago, you look at yourself now. You are different from where you are before, because the kingdom of God is now. And that is an amazing, amazing privilege I have as a pastor of this church, to see so many lives. And sometimes when I shake your hands at the door, I know your story. And my heart just leap out in thanksgiving to see the kind of transformation God has in your life. Now, many of us are on the way, by the way. We are still going through difficult times. But tell you what, if we maintain a positive, you know, understanding of the kingdom of God, we allow the kingdom of God to transform us. The problem is not about other people. The problem is how God will deal with me. So stop blaming other people, because that's their problem, all right? But the kingdom of God transformed me. I will change my heart. And God will help me to change my heart. And so there are, you know, in the kingdom of earth, for example, there are laws that governs it. And if you break that law, you suffer, right? This is just the law of earth here. Law of gravity, for example. Do you believe in the law of gravity? All right. Let's say you declare, I don't believe in the law of gravity. So you go up to the fifth floor. Okay? I don't believe in it. Then you jump. I don't care whether you believe it or not. You will break your leg. Because that's absolute. Right? Now, just as a physical law, there are also kingdom law. Moral laws, we call it. If you break it, you suffer it. Because that's moral laws. The world would tell you this is a relative law. Today it doesn't count anymore. That's a lie of the devil. Can I say that? Let me give you an example. The body is made for marriage. Right? The body is built for sexual fidelity, I call it. You try breaking that law and see what happened to you. I've never met anyone who said that I have a good time in my sexual immorality. Yeah, for short time of pleasure, but see the kind of results it will reap down the road. You may not believe it. You say, yeah, these are for the old-timers. You try that, you break the law breaks you. That's a kingdom law. And as kingdom people, we begin to understand kingdom laws here. Right? And when we live with it, as kingdom people, we reap the blessing. And that's what many of you are experiencing right now. You reap the blessings of following the laws of God. And that is why you need to read the Word. Now, I didn't say that life will become easier when you follow the law of God. The world will hate you when you do that. But I tell you what, things will be better, but it may not always go well, right? In fact, I love this saying here, you know, in fact, the Bible says that we must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So it's already, that's already a warning given to us. It wouldn't be easy, but you'll be better. Right? And Dr. Stanley Howard said, it's hard to remember that Jesus did not come to make us saved, but rather to make us disciples, citizens of God's new age, a kingdom of surprise. Right. I love that. I love that definition. So the kingdom of God is now, but also, right, the flip side of the coin is this, the kingdom of God is not yet. Right. It's not yet. Because this is only a spiritual kingdom, where there's no reign over the entire earth yet. It is still, you know, part of the kingdom of darkness. But the day will come, that when Jesus comes, he establishes a new kingdom and he will be king entirely. Satan will be dropped out from all this. And God will create a new heaven and a new earth. I don't know whether you spend some time thinking about the new heaven, the new earth. Maybe it's the age thing again. I'm beginning to think a lot about this nowadays. What will it be like one day on the new earth that God has created for us? You know, sometimes we cling on to earth so much here that we refuse to let go. Right? And I'm going to ask God, will you teach me, Lord, to look forward, all right, to the new earth and the new heavens? But do you know we have a glimpse of heaven here too? Do you realize that, a glimpse of heaven? For example, you can see scenes like this on earth. It's amazing. Right? And you can see scenes like this. And like this. It's like heaven. Right? And like this. And like this. And if on a fallen earth it looks like this, wow. I can't imagine what the perfect earth will be like. In fact, some of you pray that heaven will be like this. Malaysians think like that. Lah. God, I pray that there'll be all this food, especially durians. Do you think God will have durians on a new earth? Well, no, you're not so convincing, huh? God, please, your kingdom come. Include durian, please. And so we have the now, but not yet. And I pray that this will give us a hope and we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. You know, you understand what I mean now by the kingdom come. All right? And the next phrase say, you know, your will be done. So when you understand kingdom, you understand why God has called us this kingdom, then when you pray, you will pray according to His will. Not just praying for yourself or all your comfort or your convenience. Please, don't get me wrong. You can pray for those things. But God has a larger picture in mind for you, the ambassadors of Christ. And prayer is a mighty instrument not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. So when we pray, I said last weekend, to pray is to know the heart of God. That your will be done, not my will, God. Your will. So the more we pray, the more we know His heart. And we stop praying the things that we think we want. And it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to happen when you sit down every day with God reading His Word. And we encourage you to read the Bible every day. It's going to happen when you meditate on His Word, when you pray to Him. And God is going to transform it by the renewing of your mind, that you become more and more like kingdom people. And when God's people becomes kingdom people, it is so powerful. And when we do that, we live a life. I mentioned this to us in the earlier part of the year as our theme. As a prisoner for the Lord, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. What is our calling? Our calling is to the kingdom of God. To live out as kingdom people, to be ambassadors for Christ. And having understand that, and I said this is, you know, that Jesus said, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing. And because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. So in our prayer life with God, we begin to know the heart of God so much, we become like Jesus. We only do what Jesus tells me to do. And when that happens in our life, it becomes really powerful. Then we can fulfill what God has called us to do. Be very careful then. This is our theme verse, right? Be very careful how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity. That's kingdom work, by the way. To make the most of every opportunity. And so I leave these thoughts with you. This is an amazing, amazing privilege that we have as God's people, to be kingdom people. So now when you pray on the first platform of honor, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Spend 5 minutes just honoring God, acknowledging Him as King of your life, acknowledging Him as a good, good Father who knows what I need even before I pray. God, thank you, Lord. And now, this coming week, you step into the platform of the kingdom. And you pray for kingdom. Lord, transform me, Lord. Transform me to be kingdom people. And Lord, I will pray for the world. Can I encourage you right now as you pray for the kingdom? You think of people that need the kingdom. Will you think of 2 or 3 people that you pray for regularly? Bring it up in the cell group. Pray regularly for some of these people who need the kingdom of God. And pray for them to make the most of every opportunity. And I pray by the end of this year, as we pray diligently for our pre-believing friends, many of them will come to know Jesus. They will join the kingdom of God here. Will you do that? As you're going to the praying for your kingdom come, your will be done. Because you cannot pray the kingdom without praying for people who need the kingdom. And then the next sermon, I will talk about provision. I think it's something that, interestingly, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, God said, don't go to your needs first. Honor God first. Pray for the kingdom first before you go into provision. Before, you know, praying for your needs, before you pray for forgiveness. So seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom and His righteousness. And all this will be added to you. And I'm going to model to you how to pray. Last weekend, I modeled to you how to pray honor. And this weekend, I'll model to you now how do I pray when I stand on the platform of the kingdom. All right. So will you bow your heads right now? I want you to, right now, in your hearts, pray and ask God to tutor your hearts in this whole matter of your prayer life. And allowing God right now to just stir your hearts. What is the Holy Spirit saying to you right now about your prayer life? And then I'm going to model to you how to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Dear Father in heaven, Dad, thank you, God, for allowing me to call you Abba. That's Dad. Thank you that, Lord, I can come into your presence just as I am, as a child, God, a child of God. And hallowed be your name. I honor your name, God. Your name is holy. Your name is powerful. And you told us over and over again that you are my heavenly Father, my Dad, my heavenly Dad. And I come right now as a child, God, looking into the eyes of my Father, and to say to you, Dad, I love you, Lord. I'm sorry, God, sometimes I think more about myself. I come to you with my needs. I never ask you, God, how do you feel about my needs, God? And this morning, I want to honor you first. It's not about my needs. Forgive me, God, when I only pray things that are important to me. But I forget sometimes about the kingdom of God, for your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to learn how to pray for the kingdom of God. Not only will it transform me, and God, I know there's so many things in my life that right now you're transforming, that you call me to die to myself. When more of me is dead, God, then more of you can be in me. And so I want to learn how to pray for the kingdom of God to be extended in the lives of people around me. And I bring before you people I come across every day of my life. People that need Jesus, and I pray for them that, Lord, you prepare their hearts. Then when the time comes for me to be an ambassador for you, Lord, I will share what it means. I will show through my life what it means to be part of this kingdom. And thank you for putting me in this kingdom. Thank you, God, that I've experienced the power of this kingdom of transforming me to be who I am today. Sorry, Lord, sometimes I delight more in the kingdom of the world than rather than in your kingdom. Lord, I'm sorry for that. I want to learn to extend your kingdom, Lord. In my heart, I pray for DUMC, God, my church, Lord. May this kingdom here be built strong. May this kingdom, God, be one that will be a great ambassador for Jesus. And I pray DUMC will grow, not because, God, Lord, we want to just add numbers, but these are people, Lord, important to you that you died for, who can be a part of this kingdom. And teach us as a church, God. I pray for DUMC, Lord, that we will learn to exist for the sake of the gospel and never for ourselves. To come here, have a good time, well, that's not wrong, Lord, I know. Have a great worship, again, that's not wrong to hear a great sermon, but yet, Lord, will you give me a heart for the world that the kingdom of God may go to the people that truly needs you? And so, Lord, I submit myself to you this morning as I pray your kingdom come, your will be done. I want to hear your voice, God. I want to know your word so that when I pray in accordance to the word of the Lord. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.